Oh, man. So I wanted to share a couple of things before I get into what I'm going to talk about today. We are getting so pumped because our new children's wing is opening July 30th. Woo! Yeah. Short of any kind of a craziness happening, they're pretty confident July 30th it's happening. And we are ready, especially all the staff and volunteers are really ready. But I just wanted to tell you, that space over there is 25,000 square feet. Isn't that awesome? 16 classrooms, 2 chapels, a playground. And did you know that we minister to over 300 kids a week? 300 kids, over 300 kids a week are getting to encounter Jesus and being taught and being brought up in the good news of Jesus. They're learning from an early age that God loves to do miracles through us. I mean, so many wonderful things are happening. We're so excited about it. And I just heard this too. It's so cool. I heard that 41 preschool tables are being built and donated by a couple here in the church. Isn't that awesome? I wish I could build. If I built them, they'd be like falling on the ground first day. All of the seating in the elementary chapel was donated too. So cool. Yeah. And there's this wrought iron fencing that's going around the playground out there that's being donated by a couple in the church. And the men's Monday night crew is coming to actually install it themselves. Go men! It's awesome. Yeah. So I wanted to let you know that there's going to be several open houses that we're going to have over the next few weeks. And you'll know when those are. And they'll be moments where you can go and take a tour of that whole wing down there. And they'll show you, it'll be before or after services on, I think on Sundays and maybe Wednesdays. So you get to be able to see all that you've given towards and what you have been a part of in building. So be sure to get in one of those tours, because once we open, there's no like wandering back there. It's like the security people will take you down to Chinatown. I mean, they will like on the floor handcuff you. I'm kidding. They may not do that. But we keep that whole area secure. So be sure to get in one of those open houses so you can check it out and see it. And I just want to just thank you all on just behalf of Pastor Gary and the staff for all that you have done, how you have served, how you have given. I mean, I think we've got one of the most amazing churches and communities on the earth. I really do. I mean, you all are just you give yourselves a hand. Go ahead. Yeah. I was going to say this too, that a month or so ago, we did this Say Yes campaign, which was like just encouraging people to get involved and serve and all of that. And I just heard that we had, I think the number was like 86 people get involved that hadn't been involved to serve and to pour out their lives in ministry. How awesome is that? Way to go, you. For real. So good. So good. We believe that the vision of Hope is a God vision. You know, when Pastor Gary planted Hope 22 years ago or so, he came with a word of the Lord. And that word of the Lord is right here and all over the earth. And we believe we're in a time of expansion, not just because we're having a building, but a time of expanding the kingdom of God. You know, I just taught in Hope Intro right before I came in here. And I was telling them, you know, I don't know how many people are in Springfield, what, 160,000, 170, something around that. But I think that there's a lot more people to reach. And so the building isn't about just building a building. The building is about expanding the kingdom with the influence that we have to reach the city. Amen? So that's what we're doing. So I'm going to get right into my message here this morning. You all came back. Thank you for coming back and not leaving me this week. I hope that you were encouraged last week. Could we just pray? Yeah, just lift your hands up. And just let's just surrender ourselves to what the Lord wants to say and do. Yeah, we just, Holy Spirit, we welcome you, not because you're not here, you are very much here, but we welcome you to come and speak. I pray even just right now, the atmosphere of this room would be an atmosphere of hunger. I just pray for hunger in us, for your word, hunger for everything that you have for us. I pray for ears to hear, eyes to see. And God, I pray for revelation to flow. I want to be with you in what you're doing. I want to be with you right now. I want to be present to you so that we can enter into all that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week, We talked about the Father's heart for the world, and we're going to continue in that same flow today. And I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes, just literally just a few minutes, recapping so we have a little bit of context from where we're going. How many of you were here last week? Okay, so most people were here. Okay, good, good, good. Yeah, so last week we talked about how everything that Jesus did and everything that he said was to reveal the Father, right? To make him known, to make known who the Father really was, everything that he did. Jesus never went off and represented anything other than who the Father really was. He was the absolute truth and expression of the Father on the earth. Jesus is the clearest representation of who God is. So we find who God is in all of Scripture from Genesis to Exodus. Genesis to Exodus, yes! First two books! Genesis to Revelation, I do know that. Sorry, you're like, oh great, this is going to be awesome. Who's this guy? Jesus, God is not found in any of the other books. I'm sorry, you're going to start throwing things at me. Oh man, yeah. Genesis to Revelation, be confident in me. Come on, I need to feel it. He's revealed through all of it. All of it. But there is no clearer expression of who Jesus is, of who God is, than in Jesus. I'm going to get it here soon. We've also said that Jesus is perfect theology. He is perfect theology. And he is the clearest representation of who God was and is. And now he actually calls us to be that clear representation of who God is here on the earth. In John 20:21, it says, as the Father has sent me, I send you. So Jesus was a sent one. He was sent from the Father. And now he's saying, as the Father sent me, I send you. And so now we are sent ones, right? We are the ones that have been sent to represent him in everything that we do, in everything that we say. Our mission is to show the world who he is. Think about that. Everything you do, everything you say, everything, there's no compartmentalizing. It's not just coming on Sunday morning and presenting who he is. It's not just Sunday school or life group. It's not just in your times of devotion in the morning. You literally, in everything that you do, have been sent to show who God is. Every word that comes out of your mouth and out of my mouth, literally, those words were intended to present the nature and the goodness of God in everything that we do. Everything. As the Father sent Jesus, he sends us. So knowing who God is pretty important, right? That's why we pursue him. That's why we pursue God through worship. That's why we take the time that we do, because we're in his presence and our hearts are getting to know him and we're encountering his heart and his affection. It's why we study the Scripture, right? So that we can know who God is. It's why we pray. How many say praying is a good way to get to know God? It's why we have community. It's why we break bread together. It's why Acts tells us they broke bread together and they shared life and they entered into each other's lives so that they could know who God is, so that they could be the expression of his heart on the earth. That's why we do all of those things, because the way that I understand him is the way that I'll represent him. So that's why it's so huge that we give ourselves to these things, because if we don't give ourselves to really pursuing knowing who he is, then we won't represent him rightly, right? You can't represent somebody that you don't know. It's like, I once had somebody, they were upset about something that Pastor Gary said, and I said, oh, that's not what he meant, because I know Pastor Gary. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I know him, and so I could understand what he was saying, and it wasn't what that person thought that he was saying. Does that make sense? And that's how it is. Like, people, we kind of know these different things, but if we don't really know who he is, and we can't get the aerial view of who God is and back up, then we will represent him in wrong ways. The way that I interpret him, the way that I interpret Scripture, And the way that I interpret his nature will be the way that I present him to everyone and everything that I do. Little word changes culture, doesn't it? One little attitude, one little line, one little careless thing, and it shifts out of who God really is. And God says, I want you to represent me in everything that you say and everything that you do. I want you to be my representative. Last week we talked about how a couple of the disciples were offended. Remember that? Because of that Samaritan village that didn't receive Jesus. So the disciples, they're all offended. They wanted to call down fire from heaven and kill the whole town. It's like, that's just what you do, right? And it struck me that the message said they said, Jesus, should we call down a lightning bolt and incinerate them? Because they didn't want Jesus to come to their town. And Jesus responds to them and he says, you don't know what spirit you're of. And he rebukes them. And he says, the Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Okay? And so he's shaping culture here. He's releasing the heart of the Father. You know, I said this before, but Elijah called down fire, remember? In the Old Testament, it's like he's saying, so they were like modeling in that same thing. But Jesus is saying, that's not okay now. Because I'm the clearest expression of who the Father is, and I want you to know him. And right now, you'd be operating in the wrong spirit. I didn't come to destroy people. I came to destroy the things that were destroying people. You don't have to have many conversations to notice that there are at times, just there is at times confusion in the body of Christ about who God is, right? There's confusion sometimes about how good he really is, right? Or that he's even kind, or his nature, what he's like. And when that confusion is in the body of Christ, then there is confusion in the world. Okay? We said this last week, that when the church is confused about how good God is and how God feels for the world, then the world is really confused. Okay? So when we're confused about who he is, then we're confused about who we're to be. Because when we don't know who he is, then we don't know how to be. How do I address this? What am I to be in this situation? But when we come back to his character and we dig in and we find out who he really is, then we know how to be the expression of God on the earth. And Jesus says it, as the Father sent me, I send you. We're in a day, church, where I believe that we have got to be rooted and grounded and confident in the goodness and the heart of God like never before. Like never before, rooted in his kindness, rooted in his goodness. You know, you read this scripture as a little kid in Sunday school, John 3:16 and 17. I feel like I just want to resurrect that. It feels so fresh to me. For God so loved the world, right? That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And verse 17 says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And he is saying, in the same way that I was sent, I'm sending you. I'm sending you not to condemn the world. I'm sending you to bring life to the world. Not to condemn the world. I'm sending you to bring my Father's goodness and his kindness. Because it's his kindness that leads us to repentance, right? We're not here to call fire down on the world. We're here to bring the goodness of God. We're here to stand in the gap and call for mercy. We're not calling down fire. We're standing in the gap and saying, mercy, God, bring your mercy. The Bible says that Jesus, am I too fired up for you? Okay. I mean, that early morning coffee has wore off, so you should feel bad for the 8:30 crew. Whew. Yeah. The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Can we say all? All. All who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus only did good. Jesus only did good. So we should only do good. That's so simple, right? He only presented the goodness of God. He only presented the goodness and the nature of who God was in everything that he did. Even when he chased the money changers out of the temple with a whip. He got really excited about that. Wow. It was to present the nature of God, because Jesus hates anything that misrepresents the Father. So when we see things that are misrepresenting him, it can cause anger. I mean, you know, this. I don't suggest an actual whip. Sometimes it's time to bring out that spiritual kind of whip, you know? Like, hey, that's not who our Father is. That's not who he is. That's misrepresenting the heart of our Father. And we stand in that place and say, no. No, we don't get upset at the world for acting like the world. Judgment does begin at the household of faith. Sometimes we have to stand up and say, hey, no. That's a misrepresentation of my Father's heart. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that like that. Because that's not representing my Father well. How many want to represent him well? I do too. 1 John 3:8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The reason the Son, can we read that out loud together? The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus didn't come to destroy people. He came to destroy the works of the devil that were destroying people. Think about that. He didn't come to destroy men's lives, women's lives. He came to destroy the works of darkness that were trying to eat at them and destroy them through sickness and disease and sin. Amen? That's what he did. What are the works of darkness? I'd say at the top of the list, it's sin. Things that rob us from being our full identity, right? It's not about just following rules. It's saying, he says, I don't want you to live in sin because I've called you to something greater and I wanted you to walk into who you really are. Works of darkness, sickness. How many believe that sickness is a work of darkness? It can't be a work of Jesus. Works of darkness, disease. What if we actually thought disease was a work of darkness? Torment. Work of darkness. You know, the list goes on and on, but Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He came to bring freedom to the captive and the tormented, healing to the sick, abundant life. As the Father sent him, he sends us in the same way. I was reading through Matthew 8 and Matthew 9 this week, and as I was reading them, I was just marveling at all the good that Jesus did. And I made a little list of all the things he did. Matthew 8, it says he cleansed a leper. I always want to say leopard. I mean, Pastor Gary may be cleansing a leopard in Africa right now. Ministering to one. So silly. Of me. He cleanses a leper. He heals a centurion servant. He heals Peter's mother-in-law who had a fever. He cast out demonic spirits with a word. He healed all who were sick. He healed all. Everybody say all. We just have to say it out loud. Say all. He heals all who were sick. He calms a storm. He heals two demon-possessed men. The next chapter, Matthew 9, he heals a paralytic. He forgives his sins. He heals a woman with the issue of blood just by her touching the hem of his garment. He raised a ruler's daughter from the dead. He heals two blind men. He heals a demon-oppressed man who was unable to speak. And that's just in two chapters of Matthew. That's just all in a day's work for Jesus. For real, think about that. That's so huge. The Bible says that Jesus did so many things that if every one of them were written down, the world itself could not contain the books. You should just smile right now. Guys, we're part of the good news of the gospel. You're not selling something that's not good. We're not selling anything. We're giving it away. Like, seriously, like, think about this. This should be happy times. Even in the midst of difficulty, and even in the midst of the hardest stuff that we face, and we do face hard stuff, don't we? I mean, that's just the reality. Anybody that tells you the Christian walk is not, there are not difficult seasons and stretches, is just plain lying to you. We face difficult things, but the truth is that we have the best news ever. This is why the Son of God appeared, to destroy the works of darkness, and he calls us to do the same works. I'm going to get into that in a minute. He calls us to represent the goodness of God. As the Father sent me, I send you. That's why we look to how the Father sent Jesus. That's why we look to how he lived and what he did, so that we can walk the same way that he did. When we think about being like Jesus, we think about all the ways that he walked, you know, sinless, right? Like, oh, Jesus was sinless, so then we follow him in that way. We think about how Jesus was like the most forgiving person that ever was, you know? The one that laid down his life even to the cross, right? Take up your cross, follow Jesus. All these things we think about when we talk about, I want to be like Jesus, right? I want to follow Jesus. I want to be like him. I want to look like him. But I want to say this today. This is what I really want to zero in and hit on. So if you'll stay with me, that equally important as all of those things and all of the many more things is how we represent the Father in the ways that Jesus walked in power. Equally important as all of those things are is how Jesus walked in the miraculous, and how Jesus walked in healing and signs and wonders. The gospel of Jesus Christ includes the power ministry of Jesus Christ. It was central. Everybody say central. Central. It was central to his ministry. And it was central. If it was central to his ministry, shouldn't it be central to ours? The power ministry of Jesus, I just want to say this because I know most of you believe this already, but I just want to declare this. The power ministry of Jesus, meaning signs and wonders, miracles, healing, all of it, was not some fringe, over on the edge kind of ministry. It wasn't that. The gospel of Jesus Christ was central to miracles and signs and wonders and healing. It wasn't just, I mean, you just read the Gospels and you see, you can't hardly read a chapter without the signs and wonders and the goodness of God being displayed. Church, I just feel this so in my heart for us today, that we have been invited into a gospel of power. We've been invited to walk in things that have been made available to us. How many know that if you don't know what's available, you won't walk into it? The things that have been paid for, that all that Jesus has done for us. If we don't know what's available, we won't walk into it. And then we live beneath our privilege. And then we start offering the world a subpar kingdom. Hear me in this. I said this kind of came as revelation in the first service, but like, there are abs in here. There is a six pack somewhere. It is in there. It is in there, and I'm learning to access it. Right? I'm learning to access it. I was doing good, and then I like hit a month or two of moving, and then I stopped accessing it. They're here. They are here. Just because I can't see them does not mean that they're not there. Amen? They are there. My wife wants to see them. Come on now. Holy matrimony. Find your spouse's abs, only if you're married. Man and woman. Spouses, yeah. They're there. They are there. Just because I'm not seeing them does not mean they're not there. But I'm learning to access them. I felt like that was like total, it worked. It just works. I'm just going to call them forth right now. I just release heaven on these. I don't think it's going to work that way. I call forth those abs in Jesus' name. Let's not have this service be on the recording. Okay. Church, this is what I want to say to you. The goodness of God. The goodness of God is displayed through the miraculous. If we're to present the goodness of God on the earth, power, signs and wonders, miracle, healings, all of it are very, very much to be in the life of every believer. 1 Corinthians 4:20, I love this. I quote the scripture almost every time I get in front of people. It's this: the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. It doesn't consist in talking. It is a kingdom of power, and we are citizens of the kingdom of power. In him is unlimited power, and we're learning to access it. We're learning to access all that's been made available to us. It says, after Jesus' death and resurrection, he appeared to his disciples in Acts 1, and he tells them this. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, both right where you are in your city and in your region, and then to the ends of the earth. This morning, I just want to say this. I am intentionally painting some broad strokes. I mean, oftentimes I'll just take a text and we'll preach through that and I'll teach you that. But today I felt like the Lord was like, I want you to just paint some broad strokes because I want us to see that and enter into the bigger and broader picture that Jesus is inviting us into. Okay, so I'm going to hit some scriptures from here and there, but I want to tell you, this is like a bigger picture of what we're being called into. So here we go. John 14, it says this. Jesus says in verse 12, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask for in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. How many believers do we have in the room? I want to see your hand. If you're not a believer, it's okay. You can become one today. Come find me right after the service. Keep your hand up. Every believer in this room, you have been given permission to do the works of Jesus. It's what it says. Just keep them up. Here we go. I'm keeping mine up. I'm putting two up. I want more. You have been given permission to do the works of Jesus, and you have been given permission to do even greater works. Whew. That almost sounds like heresy, except that Jesus said it. So it can't be. Can you guys just keep your hands up the whole rest of the sermon? It'd be so good. Church, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most empowering gospel, the most empowering thing that ever was. People are looking to be empowered all over the country and the world for all sorts of different things, but I want to tell you today that the gospel is the most empowering, believing in the sons and daughters thing that ever was. We have been empowered. When much of the church has settled in with the idea of just waiting for heaven, right? Jesus comes out and it's like he's saying in this, like, hold a minute, I'm actually giving you permission and authority to change the world. When you were a kid, did you want to be a superhero? I mean, come on. I watched Superman and I watched the Bionic Man. I wanted bionics. You remember that? Those of you who are old enough, like the music would come on. It was like this, and it'd be, you know, like he'd go and he'd have these. I wanted to be powerful. I watched Wonder Woman too. I'm sorry. I did. I think the Lord was preparing me for strong women because I have like a house full of girls now. But like, I guess a new Wonder Woman just came out too. Somebody told me that I needed to go see it, that there'd be great revelation for me from my sermon last week. So yeah, it's hilarious. I guess I need to see it. But there's this desire in all of us to be powerful, right? Didn't you want to be Superman? Didn't you want to be Spider-Man? You look at little kids and that's this desire is in them. And church, I want to tell you, I believe that that was a God-given desire. Now it has to be directed in the ways of Jesus and the kingdom, but we were made to do powerful things. The gospel is the proof of it. What Jesus says right here, you were made to do powerful things. What I did, you get to do, and even greater things. That stirs me up. Does it stir you up too? we get to do the stuff that Jesus did. And when we do the works of healing, when we do the works of just the miraculous, we are destroying the works of darkness that are destroying people's lives. I'm just going to say this. I want to see that tumor in Rebecca's head destroyed. I do. I mean, like my family, we pray about this every day. Like my kids, we are in that place. We have not seen the breakthrough yet, but we are standing in that place because of what Jesus has said. Just because you don't see it instantly doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It takes a while for the abs to come sometimes. And sometimes it's immediate. We cannot be discouraged. The children of Israel, it says in the Psalms, it says that they grieved the Lord because they limited him. Because they did not remember his power. Church, we've got to break out of those limits that we have put on God and on situations because of what we haven't seen. Because of disillusionment, because of prayers that have not been answered. Luke 7, I'm going to cruise here, gracious. Okay. John the Baptist, it says John the Baptist sent his disciples to see if Jesus was really the Messiah. You remember this? And in verse 21, it says, in that hour, they came, the disciples came to Jesus, and it says Jesus healed many people of diseases, plagues, evil spirits, and on many who were blind, it says he bestowed sight. It says that Jesus answered them and said, go and tell John what you have seen and what you've heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. This stands out to me so much, guys, and this is why. The gospel of Jesus is not just a gospel of hearing, it's a gospel of seeing. It's a gospel of seeing. John the Baptist is asking Jesus, you know, everybody's wondering, is this the one we have waited for? Is this the Messiah? Is this the one? And Jesus' response is, tell him what you just saw. Guys, go back. Go back to John and tell him. Tell him what you've seen. Tell him your eyewitness account of what you've seen and what you've heard. And what's interesting to me is that Jesus decides to say, this is how Jesus says, yes, I'm the one. He doesn't sit John's disciples down and say, I'm going to give you a 5-point lesson on why I am the Messiah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I want to spell this out perfectly for you so that we can get this all right theologically, and you can go back and you can tell John the Baptist, this is why I really am the one. He says, no. He says, go tell him what you just saw. People are healed. The miraculous is happening. All of this stuff. He says, that's what you go back and tell them. Tell them about the lives that are miraculously being transformed. Church, these are not fairy tale stories. It is easy to think about all the stories in the Bible of Jesus healing people and sort of remove ourselves emotionally from it, but these were real lives. Jesus is breaking in on the darkness and destroying it with every healing, with every deliverance, with every moment of his goodness breaking in. And it's changing lives. These are people with real skin. These people have real skin. They're being set free from a life of sickness and disease. Do you know people that really want to be free from sickness and disease? Do any of you know anyone? These people were those people. These are people that couldn't walk their whole life, and all of a sudden their lives changed and they walked. We're talking about people who couldn't hear. They never heard the sound of rain. All the things that we take for granted. They never heard the sound of their mother's voice. And all of a sudden they can hear. So we're talking about a family who somebody died, and Jesus comes on the scene and he raises them from the dead. The family's mourning and broken and hurting, and Jesus walks in and he says, rise up in the name of me. Think about this. Don't let these be stories. This is real life stuff. And now he says, I want you to do it. So good. I'm on page 7 of like 13 pages. Let's all stand up. The gospel of Jesus Christ isn't just talking or preaching. Church, we're supposed to be seeing something. Don't shift. Don't shift from where I'm at. We're going to just plug into this for just a few more minutes. Matthew 10 says Jesus called his 12 disciples, and it says he gave them authority over every unclean spirit to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. Further down it says, and proclaim, he said to them, proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Come on, say it out loud. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Think about this. As a spirit believer, you have authority over every unclean spirit. You just heard it. He gave it to you. You have authority over every unclean spirit. You know what that means? You have authority over lust. Smile at me. You have authority over lust. Pornography does not have to overtake you. You don't have to give in to it. You have authority over lust. Do you know that when you know what's been made available to you, you can actually access it then, and then its power? I had a guy Wednesday night come up to me, such a cool guy. He shared how he had dealt with anger in such an intense way in his life, like big time anger. And he said that day, this last Wednesday, he said he went to work and he said, I almost lost my job today. He said, because something happened at work that was so bad and I got so angry. He said, I got so angry. He said, I was about to just let him have it. And honestly, I would have lost my job. And he said, but then I remembered your sermon from Sunday. And he said, I remembered that I was a representative of my Father to express his goodness on the earth. And he said, when I remembered that, the anger left. He said, Josh, that would never have happened, ever. That would never have happened. He said, but that anger left because he knew what was available to him. Church, we have been given authority over every unclean spirit, authority over sickness and disease and affliction. And we are here on the earth to present the goodness of God through signs and wonders and miracles. I wish I had 15 more minutes, but I don't. It's okay. How many want to walk in this stuff? You know, it's not for super spiritual people. We have a ministry team, and I'm going to ask them to come right now. But we just train these people. All of you are ministers. All of you are ministers. And I just want to just say this as, you know, practical application to us today. You've been given influence wherever you are. You have been given influence to touch your world with the goodness of God. You've been given influence. Some of you are gonna reach the whole world. Do we have any of those people in here? You know who you are. Be confident about it. Some of you are gonna go to the nations and you're gonna reach the whole world. And many of you are gonna be here and you're gonna be sent to reach a few people that are gonna be so significant that it's gonna change everything in their lives and everything in between, right? But wherever you are, whether it's your work or your family or whatever, you have been given influence. You have been given influence and that favor. You're on that board to bring the kingdom. You are on that PTA because you're going to bring the nature of God to that place. I know what it's like to pray for people and not get an answer. Does anybody know what that's like? We're not pretending. We're saying we've been made aware of what's available and we want more. And we're hungry. We're hungry to do the stuff that Jesus said we could do. We're hungry to break the power of darkness over people and set people free. If you want to walk in a greater measure of this, I just want you to lift your hands right now all over this place and just begin to just pray. Just begin to lift your voices. In Jesus' name, I pray for a fresh anointing today to set the captives free. I pray for a fresh anointing to release healing to the sick and oppressed. I pray for a fresh anointing of boldness to come upon you to do the works of Jesus. I pray for a fresh anointing to literally destroy the works of darkness that are destroying people. That you would not be afraid anymore, but you would walk in boldness because the world needs you to be you.
The world needs what you have. I pray for a fresh anointing to destroy yokes of heaviness and bondage. And we curse Satan and cancer in Jesus' name. That you would literally walk into places and destroy cancer. That you would literally walk into places and release healing in Jesus' name. You'd literally speak a word and that thing would go. You'd speak a word and that thing would go. You've been empowered and called in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That the Lord has given you authority over unclean spirits. You don't have to give in to that unclean spirit ever again, because now you know what's available. It got quiet. Keep praying. We got to break through that one. Come on, keep praying for just a minute. Come on, just keep praying. Shoo. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every unclean spirit has to go. Every agreement with darkness has to be broken so we can release who you really are in the earth. That the church would be set free from everything that's unclean, and we could bring forth the cleanness and the goodness of our Father in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing to bring good news. We're going to just open up the front for ministry. I want to encourage everyone that needs healing in your body. It doesn't matter how minor or how major it is. I want you to come for healing today. Even if you've come 1,000 times before, I want you to come again today, because we're pressing in and we're believing and we're contending for what's been made available to us in Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise together? Come on. Come on, just give him a praise. Just give him praise for all that he's made available, for his goodness, for the goodness of God, for the goodness of our Father. We praise you, God. Jesus' name. Would you just come for healing? Anybody that needs healing, this Wednesday night, we are going to have just prayer again. I want to encourage you to come. Don't miss Wednesday night. We're going to do some practical stuff and just break into this in an even further measure. God bless you. If you need to get your kids, get them. If you need healing, come. Man, just use the influence that you have to destroy the works of darkness this week. In Jesus' name, God bless you.